Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May the 4th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So glad you're here. What color is your lightsaber?
My lightsaber is, I don't actually know what to mean. It's, I would be on the light side, if that's what you're asking me.
Okay, so
I'm not taking a dark side lightsaber because that's just nonsense. Who wants to be on the dark side? If you want to be on the dark side, you have a problem. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so blue or green most likely for you?
Okay, let's go with that.
It's okay. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Blue.
All right. Now, see, Brian, John, he just knew right away.
He did. He did. Yeah.
But you know, it's okay because maybe you just haven't found the right Kyber crystal yet, so you just don't know what color you need to be. And that's okay.
That could well be the issue.
Anyhow, it's May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day, which I totally get the pun part of it. I also find it kind of funny that there's never been a Star Wars movie released on May 4th.
I know, right? How funny is that?
That's pretty funny.
It's just the effort to create something going on every day during the year. I saw something about Shrimp Scampi Day, about April 30th or something, and Stephen Colbert's going, "What? Shrimp Scampi Day? Seriously?"
Huh. Well, you know, maybe... although shrimp from the Scampi district really like it.
I think there's a list somewhere on the internet about every special day. And if there's any holes, people say, okay, let's make this ballpoint pen day.
There's a list for everything on the internet. Some of them are more disturbing than others.
You know, yesterday was World Press Freedom Day.
World Prayer Day.
Wait, they doubled up yesterday?
Oh, was that Wednesday that was World Press Freedom Day?
Yeah, because yesterday was World Prayer Day.
That was Wednesday that was World Press Freedom Day. We talked about it on ACM.
A
crossover promotion.
Yeah, ACM. It's this awesome show where Brian and I tell each other that we're wrong, and then the listeners correct us and let us know we were both wrong.
ACM, is that another complicated mess?
Yes.
Yeah, actually.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, well,
advertising.
Yeah, it's a fun show, Brian. I'm really glad we do Apple Context Machine together.
I have enormously loud machinery that's not close to my house that is being incredibly loud. So, if you're hearing noise, I apologize. No idea where it's coming from.
It sounds to me like you know exactly where it's coming from. Large machines that are not near your house. But we're not hearing it, so okay, it's fine.
That's good.
So let's talk about Twitter.
Let's do that. Yes, please.
All right. So here's the deal. Twitter has been sending out emails to users, and I have gotten emails myself saying, hey, you know, you might want to consider changing your password. We haven't had a data breach, but we had a buttload of users' passwords that were dumped out internally, and that's the very condensed version. Brian, you wrote about it, so I'm betting you can offer up a much better explanation.
Yeah, so somehow these numbnuts had our passwords being saved out to an internal log file during the hashing process in clear text.
Wait, in clear text? Like it might as well be an Excel spreadsheet with our passwords.
Yes. Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Holy crap.
They weren't hashed.
That's...
And they're calling it a bug. I mean, like,
that's not I bet they are.
That's not a bug, man. That's just some sloppy, sloppy, sloppy coding somewhere.
I'm going to take it a step farther and say that's irresponsible.
It is grossly irresponsible. Now, they also said they have no indication whatsoever of any kind of breach for this file being accessed. nor do they have any indication that anyone internal even saw the log file. Now, that may or may not be the case. However, their root advice here is to change your Twitter passwords, and I am all on board with this. Doesn't matter if the mere chance that there is a massive file out there with all our Twitter passwords out there means that if you don't want to lose your account, you should change your password. And not only that, you should just change your password periodically anyway. This is like, if think of this as a good excuse to do what you should do anyway, which is to periodically change your passwords.
Yeah, I haven't changed my Twitter password in a little while, and although I do have two-factor authentication turned on, and
is it Brian Rules 123?
That's the only password I use. Yeah. Well, no, there's some sites that require what they call special characters. So I put an exclamation point at the end for those. So, yeah. But I'm going to use this as a reminder that, yeah, I should be changing my Twitter password probably a little more often than I do. And I do what seems to me like a pretty smart thing, which is, I let 1Password generate a random password for me. So
Yeah.
Yeah, so sure. I don't even know what my Twitter password is.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I have ridiculously long passwords everywhere that I can use them. I can probably put this down to another way of thinking about it. I don't actually expect any trouble from this. But the risk of that not being the case versus the effort required to change my password makes mm-hmm. it a no-brainer.
Well, okay, so I'm totally with you, and at the same time, I have a little bit of apathy, and my apathy is coming in because if they're dumping my password out to a file as plain text, what does it matter if I change it? Because it's going to get dumped out to plain text again.
They fixed it, bro.
Oh, they fixed it? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, then that's different.
They fixed it before they announced it.
Oh, well.
The other thing is, we've never heard about any instances where somebody complained about their account being hacked. So that's another indicator that the file wasn't misappropriated.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. The chances are, I mean, I said in my piece, kudos to Twitter for the transparency, but, you know, at the same time, oh my God, this is just ridiculous. But what if someone did get that file? Yeah, no one's been hacked yet that we know of. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's the risk. This is simple risk analysis.
I like your idea about, say, you should be changing it off, and this is just another instance that just triggers you to do what you should have been doing. So
yeah,
it's a good strategy.
Yeah, this is the kick in the butt to do the right thing. There is absolutely and positively enough risk that something catastrophic could happen to warrant the efforts to change your password, and you should change your password anyway.
I saw your article yesterday, and I changed my password, and I have two-factor authentication. It took 30 seconds. Done.
Yeah, all right, fine. I'll change mine today. But I'm probably safe anyhow because I do use two-factor authentication. Still, I'm stuck on the part where all our passwords were being dumped out in plain text.
It's cool, bro. It's just a bug.
What the? I mean, it's a good thing it's a video show so that people can see me shaking my head in disbelief. No, wait.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right.
It's 2018, dudes. It's not 1998 anymore. These things should have been fixed long ago. I love how companies say, this was a bug and we'll do better in the future. We're not really responsible for this, and yada, yada, yada. And you're going, wait a minute, this should have been fixed years ago. I mean, this is like that Apple root password bug back in, what, November, December? And you go, how can this be in 2017?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, okay, so another thing that I'm really curious about, how is it that they could have had part of their system dumping out passwords as plain text and no one noticed before now? Or did they know and they just were like, meh?
Well, I mean, you know, when's the last time you went over your logs?
Well, that's a really good point. Was it written to a log that people usually look at for inspection, for maintenance, and analysis?
No, they say there's no indication that anyone
even... So it was written out to a file that isn't routinely monitored. They didn't even know the file existed, maybe.
That's my guess. I think that is, at the very least, that is logical.
Because somebody was rummaging around and saw this file for the first time and said, whoa, let's take a look at this. What is this? How did this happen? Who's writing? How did this file get written? And then they went, oops.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Twitter says they have fixed it. So this plain text file full of passwords is not happening anymore. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I'm glad they fixed it. Although
did they fix it and then make the announcement, or did they make the announcement and then wait to fix it?
They fixed it and made the announcement.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. So if anybody who changed the password after the announcement doesn't have to worry about what Jeff was talking about, getting it written out again.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's good that they fixed the problem, but I'm not going to give them kudos because they shouldn't have let this problem happen in the first place.
Yeah, they get kudos for transparency.
Okay, they can have transparency kudos. I will compromise with you on that. Yeah.
But the dogs still ate their homework.
Yeah. No, actually, the dog took the homework and then placed it somewhere where only he knew where it was sitting, but it was sitting out in plain sight.
Yeah. That's just awesome. All right. So there is a petition at change.org that just popped up a day or two ago. And I'm curious what you guys think about this. So this guy, his name is Matthew Taylor, and what he did was start a petition calling for Apple to voluntarily recall the Touch Bar MacBook Pro and replace the keyboard. And what he's asking for specifically isn't that Apple replace the keyboard with the same one, but come up with a new design that's more reliable and replace everyone's keyboard with that.
And that'll happen in the next version. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So what happened here is he got really frustrated because he has a Touch Bar MacBook Pro and the keyboard failed. And so he's had to have it replaced, and he may have had to have it replaced again already. I'm in the position where I've already had the keyboard on my Touch Bar MacBook Pro replaced once, and I am just trying to figure out the timing for me to take it back to the Genius Bar and have it replaced again. And the complaints that people have is that the keyboard, or at least some keys on the keyboard, will stop functioning because something like gets underneath them, and it doesn't have to be like part of your lunch. You know, half a sandwich, something like that. It's just dust particles get under the keys, and then they stop working. And Apple has a knowledge base article saying, get a can of compressed air, turn your keyboard or turn your laptop upside down, and spray the keyboard with compressed air every now and then. And that's probably fixing
it. Boy, that sounds like, you know, lift it up 3 inches off the desk and drop
to reseed all the chips. Yes,
it's Apple. Yeah. 3 days, right? I'll tell you what I think. I one might surmise that it would be great if Apple would say, if you think you have a problem with your keyboard, just bring it in, we'll replace it. But then the engineer in the meeting raises his hand and says, well, we have a design problem here that tends towards collecting material interfering with the key mechanism. So if we just make a public announcement and say, hey, we're great guys. If you have a keyboard problem, you even think you have a problem, bring it in, we'll exchange it. What'll happen is that they'll have the same recurring problem and they'll get even more upset. So let's just keep quiet until we do a redesign and publish a knowledge base article. So I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what's happened. And it's very frustrating for the people that do have a keyboard that failed and they get it replaced and it fails again. This is why I'm really glad I have AppleCare on my laptops, because I'm expecting once I'm out of warranty or out of the regular, or actually, I guess I am out of my regular warranty because I got mine in 2016. AppleCare is what's going to allow me to keep getting my keyboard replaced without having to shell out money for it. It's expensive. They actually have to replace the entire top case instead of just pop it open and put a new keyboard in.
Well, one thing is for certain, they're not, I mean, Apple's tolerances are so tight. There's not going to be a redesigned keyboard to retrofit. That is not happening. The keyboard, the MacBook Pro was already designed around that keyboard, or at the very least designed to keep that with that keyboard specifically in mind.
I'm betting they could come up with a different keyboard. And the reason I say that is because the keyboard that's in the 2017 model is slightly different. And the rest of the body is the same.
Is it only the Skylake 2016 model that's susceptible to this?
2016 and 2017. Although 2017, not nearly to the same degree.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and the 2017 keyboard is a little bit different. So for me, I lost my E key and I want to say it was the C and the X and the Apple key.
Do we know that there has to be debris in there for the keyboard to fail? Has there been any testing done? Do you know of that where people have banged on a pristine keyboard without any debris getting in there and it fails over time? Or from what I've heard, it's triggered by debris.
Well, here's anecdotal information for you. When my keyboard was replaced, the Genius Bar said they couldn't find anything under the keys.
Ah.
So that either means something had gotten under there, damaged the keys, and then got back out, or there was never anything under the keys and they just failed. So my new one with, or my most recent keyboard, when I get that one replaced, I will ask them, was there anything under the keys? And I'll see what they say.
Popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn. Yeah. Just so you know. Meanwhile,
this petition still is not going to go anywhere.
No, of course it's not going anywhere. There's already over 1,000 people that have signed it. But, you know, slacktivism is awesome because you can sign something and say, yeah, I'm participating, and then go on with your day. And to me, a lot of the petitions like this are just like that. You spend a minute of your life clicking a couple things to voice your complaint, and then you move on, and for you, it's over. And I'm not saying that's what this is for everyone, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what a lot of those signatures are. And nothing's going to happen because Apple's not going to take this petition and say, well, we better come up with this whole new design and then tell everyone, bring in your laptop. We're giving you a new keyboard. That's not how Apple works.
You know, I'm betting that Apple has feedback from the repair techs about every instance of the keyboard and what they think caused it, or what they found when they repaired the keyboard or replaced it. And I bet Apple has so much information that it's guiding them about what to do about this. And they're probably, my guess is that, well, in some instances, some keyboards fail just because of the manufacturing process and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that Apple's discovered from the repair techs that it's debris. And they're going, eh, we're not going to do anything except tell you to put a compressed air in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then those of us that have AppleCare, we will keep taking our laptops in and getting new keyboards put in. I'm finding it really difficult to use my keyboard when the control key doesn't work most of the time.
Are you thinking about buying a new MacBook Pro and trading your old one in, recycle program?
Not right now.
I've got a keyboard for you.
Yeah, you have a pretty snazzy keyboard. John, if the only keyboard I ever used was the one that's built into the laptop, I would probably be looking at other options. But since I spend a substantial amount of time using an external keyboard, it makes it a lot easier for me to live with the problem until I decide, okay, here's the couple days where I can be without my laptop, because they actually have to send them off to a repair facility to get them fixed. They can't do it in the stores. So, yeah, I emotionally support Matthew Taylor's petition, and I understand his frustration, especially since I'm going to have have a second keyboard pretty soon.
For sure.
And at the same time, I really don't think anything's going to happen with the petition. Isn't something Apple's going to respond to.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that happy note, we are out of time. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. Good times.
Yep. Great to have you here. John, I'm so glad you are here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you. And listeners, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. See you again on Monday.